Blog Talk Radio.
A year ago, my life had collapsed around me. I'd worked myself into exhaustion. My father died suddenly, and my relationships were in turmoil. Little did I know at the time, out of my greatest despair was to come the greatest gift.
Good morning. Today is Tuesday, December the 23rd, 2014, and you are tuned into Step Into Your Power with Fianna. I am your host, Fianna Sharon Huff, and this is the last show of 2014. It's a really wonderful show. I know that you're going to get something empowering out of this. It's a special topic, and I have a special person who is going to deliver this empowering radio program. Christmas is 2 days away. Many are looking forward to tearing open presents, house hopping for more gift giving and dining, and spreading cheer to family and friends. There is, however, a population of people who feel and act the complete opposite. They don't look forward to this holiday. They won't feel like swapping gifts or visiting folks. In fact, they're still clear of anything that has anything remotely to do with the holidays. Why? Because they are depressed and are suffering from what is commonly known as the holiday blues. Of course, it may be a little deeper than just feeling away and sad from Thanksgiving through New Year's. That's why I've enlisted the support, expertise, and experiences of Jamesina Green. She's the author of Help, I Don't Like Myself. Jamesina has felt the grips of depression and is here this morning to offer help, solutions to beating the holiday blues and beyond. So let's welcome my friend, my big sister, my fellow powerhouse to the show. Good morning, Jamesina.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you? Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. So we were talking prior to the show, and you said that I am the only person that could get you up this early in the morning. So I'm thankful and grateful for that, and I'm glad to have you on the show this morning. I want to get into the meat and potatoes of the show, you know, talking about the holiday blues and depression. I actually had a friend yesterday who called me and asked if we could hang out because he was starting to feel away, you know, starting to be on the edge of depression because, again, this holiday season from Thanksgiving to New Year's, people are just feeling sad. Why do people get depressed during the holidays?
Well, you know, there are a number of reasons why people get depressed, and sometimes people want to always just look at the spiritual part of it. But there are physical reasons, chemical imbalances, changes. This time of year, it has been noted that with the less amount of sun that we have, it gets dark earlier. It affects the chemical balances in our brain, and that affects our emotions. We have the physical part to look at. Then we have, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, a lot of people celebrating with their family members, with their loved ones. There's a big commercial push toward everybody looking happy, everybody being happy. And when you are alone, or if you've lost a loved one this time of year, all of that affects your ability to just be happy. And so the happy holidays are not happy for you because you're looking around, you see the couples, you see the families, people spending all this money to purchase gifts, and you don't have those things. And so it affects you and pulls you down into a place where you just don't want to be bothered with people.
So then, How do we help people, I won't say get past, but how, when you know that someone is depressed, you see the signs of it. How do you assist them? For example, like with my friend calling, I immediately say, we're going to hang out. And it just brought some cheer because he's a single, you know, he's a single dad. He doesn't really deal with too many people. And his mother, she actually recently had a stroke. And so he's now becoming to take the caretaker of her. She's in the hospital. He's between making sure that he can get to his children, his mother, feeding her. So it's like a whole bunch of, you know, a whole lot going on. So I knew in that instance, being there was the most important thing.
Right, absolutely. And I'm impressed with, and I'm thankful for, the fact that he reached out to you. Because my concern this time of year is that there are too many people who are not reaching out. And then there are people who are not sensitive enough to notice what's going on until it's too late. And so the fact that he reached out to you, I think, is a phenomenal thing on his part. And once a person reaches out to you, or if you recognize without them reaching out that they're changing, that they are not as involved, or that there is some definite change in their emotion, I think we have a responsibility not to automatically assume that this is something a person can just get over. You know, from my experiences and my posts, even on social media, my response to people just telling people to shake it off and get it over, get over with it, you know, I don't respond very well to that. Because it's not just a matter of everybody has days where you just don't feel like being bothered. But there's a big difference in today I don't feel like being bothered and 2 or 3 weeks I don't feel like being bothered. And so we need to be aware of what people are going through and meet them where they are. And so when you recognize that a person is changing in their behavior and they're becoming less and less interactive or whatever, without being judgmental, you need to just let them know, I'm here for you. What can I do? What do you need from me to make things better for you?
And that makes absolute sense. Now, what inspired you to write Help, I Don't Like Myself?
Pardon me. I was inspired to write that book because I ended up in a situation where I was depressed. I was overwhelmed. I was going to school full-time, working 2 jobs, and a single mother of 2 sons, working in my parents' ministry, just doing everything for everybody but myself. And it just, over a period of time, I became more and more depressed and more anxious about life, period, feeling helpless and hopeless and just like this is never going to be anything. And I woke up one day thinking I was having a heart attack. I was rushed to the hospital, and it was discovered that I was having a severe anxiety attack, in addition to a migraine. And so the doctor, pardon me, the doctor asked me, how was I doing? And I made a statement that changed the whole course of my life. I said, I wish I could go to sleep and not wake up. And because of that statement, I was admitted to the mental health unit at the local hospital, where I was forced to address some issues that I had not dealt with my entire life. And so I started journaling about my experience there. And then as time went on, I realized that there are so many, many, many people in that same place, even the Christians who love the Lord and filled with the Holy Spirit. I know there are many people who are listening, many who say that you cannot be a Christian and be depressed. And I absolutely disagree with that, totally, completely. And so pretending that you're not something doesn't make it not be. And until you address it and you feel it and be real about it, then you can't get healed from it. And so in the midst of standing in front of congregations of people, ministering, singing, playing, you know, I was a musician and so forth and so on. But underneath all of that, I didn't like myself. And so I had to come to a place where I had to learn who I was versus who everybody thought I was before I could come to that place of loving myself.
So what steps, what specific steps did you take in order to push past the depression?
And I'm so glad you asked me that question, because I always say that I have not overcome depression.
Okay.
And I know that's going to upset some people. What I have overcome is the stronghold of depression. And by that, I mean I still have seasons in my life where I battle with depression. But I'm no longer held captive by the stronghold of depression. It doesn't affect my entire life like it used to. For example, as you know, in the past 2-3 years, I lost both my parents within 3 months of each other. I suffered a stroke. I've had 2 major surgeries wherein they lost me on the table. When I came out of the surgery, I had no use of my entire left side and I could not talk. And I was told there was a possibility I may never walk again. And so, of course, I've been depressed during this time. That's a lot for one person to have to deal with. This time of year, I celebrate the month of December. I celebrate the anniversary of my father's death, who died on my son's 18th birthday. And then my father's birthday was last week. And so there is a mood of depression, but it does not control me anymore. And what I had to do was, first of all, recognize that I was depressed, admit it, say it, acknowledge it, and then get help with it, pretending that it's not there, trying to dance over it, shout over it, speak in tongues over it. I remember people would say to me, well, you just need to go read the Bible, or you need to just go pray, and you'll be fine. And in my mind, I'm thinking, clearly you've never really been depressed, because you can get so deep into that dark hole that you can't pray. All you can do is just cry. And it's good that God knows our heart and he knows what we're saying, even when we can't say the words. But it is so important that we not just brush people off and just put a Bible in their hand and send them on their way, because there's just so much more to it that needs to be addressed.
Right. I know my grandfather, he passed 2 days after Thanksgiving, 2005. And I remember the children and I were supposed to come to Virginia, which where I now am at the time. We were in Brooklyn, New York. And I remember we were supposed to come, but for whatever reason, we wound up not coming. And I had gotten off work 2 days after Thanksgiving, and I remember coming up the steps. I got in the house, and the children, Clara and Isaac, they were actually coming up the steps, and so I get a phone call from my mother, and she says, you know, we lost we lost death. And
wow.
I said, well, and she said, you know, I heard the trembling in her voice, and she was like, we lost death. And it hit me. I just screamed to the top of my lungs in the apartment building, and I realized he was no longer here in the physical anymore. And so when Thanksgiving comes, I'm very aware that there's no longer the Thanksgiving dinners I grew up.
Right.
And then two days later, I distinctly remember this is the day that he passed, and he was in great health. He just transitioned, you know. And
yeah.
I remember this past Thanksgiving, while I did cook Thanksgiving dinner for the children and we watched TV and all of that stuff, but I was mildly depressed. Like, I didn't, my childhood church mom, even my godmother had invited me to come over for Thanksgiving dinner, but I just didn't, not that I didn't appreciate it or want to be around him.
Exactly.
And I recognize, as you say, you know, you have to acknowledge it, you know, whatever you're going through, what the intensity of the depression is, but I was feeling the way, and then, you know, thoughts of, oh, yeah, you're not loved starting to speak in. I was like, hold up. This is not the case. But I allow myself to be, because we are human, and, you know, we have to give ourselves that time to feel what we feel, but then we have to, as you say, get help. Or in my case, I had to realize I am blessed, and there were people who wanted to see us, but I just made a decision. I just needed to be in my own space, and, you know, I just
had
children. But it is real, and some people don't feel like they have anybody to go to talk to. And so those are the ones that you and I are truly concerned about, who don't say anything, who don't acknowledge and admit it, and then, of course,
exactly.
The help. Yeah. It really...
That is so true, because, you know, like, I remember, I'm going to say this real quickly, I remember when I was admitted in the mental health unit, and my family members came the next day to see me. And one of the statements that was made that has stuck in my head all these years was one of the family members, the counselor, well, what is wrong with her? Because I just saw her yesterday. She was fine. So what happened to her overnight? And the counselor responded, this did not happen overnight. This has been years in the making. And so as I went on, I began to realize that nobody recognized or paid attention to what was going on with me for all those years. And that's why I said it's so important to be aware of people that you're around. Be genuinely in tune to people. Because then we don't have these suddenly, oh, my God, they killed themselves. I wonder what happened. I didn't even know they were depressed. We've got to be more attentive to each other and more sensitive to each other than what we've been.
Right. I want to go share something with our listening audience from your book, again, Help, I Don't Like Myself, that I remember when I first read the book,
Probably about three years ago.
And, of course, you know, I immediately read it, and I'm a note taker, as all know. So, of course, I had my highlights and my ashes and all those things. And so I just wanted to share this. This comes from page 28 of your book. You said, my late sister, Sylvia R. White, was one of the sweetest people I will ever know. She had a personality that constantly drew people to her, and she was always surrounded by people. Throughout her life, we talked about how unhappy she was with her body weight. Sure, she put up a front and pretended that it didn't matter, but it did. I always reminded her that God created her to be herself, and who she was not her weight or size. How low level of self-love led her into multiple unhealthy relationships. While she was always making others laugh and was the life of the party, inside she was unhappy. I share this with you because I don't want you to come to the end of your life and not realize just how magnificent you are. I want you to live your life knowing that you are powerful and fantastic. It is an honor to have you in our lives. That right there it says so much in this one paragraph. Because you can be the life of the party, the go to for jokes and so forth. And people they recognize you for that. They want to be around you because yes, you seem to exude that positive, happy energy. But inside, when you go home, you're feeling something else, and people don't recognize it because they're accustomed to, oh, she's always happy. She doesn't have any bad days. And those are the ones that we have to be careful of. So you want to just kind of expand on that?
You know, and it is so true because when even after my sister passed, and it's been many years now, but there are still people that when you mention her name, the first and only thing they say, oh, my God, that girl was so funny. Oh, my God, she always made me laugh. Every time I saw her, she had me cracking up. And nobody addresses the fact that she kept getting into these abusive situations because she felt like she didn't deserve any better. And so I look at people, including myself sometimes, they're always trying to make other people laugh or other people smile or other people feel happy. And I watch those people and I observe those people, and I'm very attentive to making sure that they are getting what they need as much as they are giving out. And this is why sometimes I've learned, Fiona, over the years to pull back and to pull into my own space, to refresh myself, to really address my needs at that time. And I will sit down, because I'm a writer. I write students about everything. And I will pull back and get my journal out and write exactly what is it that I'm feeling today. What is it that I need today from myself or from anybody else or from God, or what do I need? Because I spent so many years focusing on what everybody else wanted and what everybody else needed and what they expected from me. And now I've learned that if I don't take care of me first, then I have nothing to give out to other people. And so to those of you who are listening, who always feel like you have to always be positive, you always have to be upbeat, you always have to be giving, giving, giving. The reality of life is you can't keep giving out without ever being filled. And so you need to have your time when it's just about you and getting what you need so that you do have something to give.
Wow. You know, you mentioned it's two things that resonate from the statement you just made. And I just have to say before I say this, we are so instinct. You are truly, truly my big sister and my powerhouse. Because we quick. We know each other. We know when each other is up, down. You know, so it's just, I just really appreciate you, and I'm just so thankful that you're on the show. The one thing you mentioned was about journaling, and I have, you know, I created tips for beating the holiday blues and beyond. So one of the things, the first thing that I wrote down actually of the seven tips that I created was journaling. You know, let it all out. Yeah,
awesome.
You know, let it all out.
And I haven't
out.
Even had a chance to read those tips. That's amazing.
Well, that you know, and it's great because I'm actually going to post them, you know, after the show for people to actually, you know, see in black and white. But I said, you know, let it all out, the good, the bad, the whatever. Don't censor what you write, just write.
That's right. Absolutely.
Because you have to
release it some kind of way. It's going to come out some kind of way. So it's better for you to be in control of how it comes up. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not one of these people that's just always, you know, happy, go lucky, always walking around, hallelujah, praise God. I'm just, that is not me. There are moments when I'm just like, oh my God, I just want to, like, ooh. And I write that down, and I write down what I'm feeling and process through it and walk through it till I come out on the other side.
Right. And the second tip, and I'm actually going to read through them quickly and then get some information on how we can contact you. The second was to take a sabbatical. My childhood church mom, who is one of my staunch supporters, has always been and has definitely embraced me and the children, me coming back to the Hampton Roads area. She takes a sabbatical. She has a nonprofit organization that deals with empowering women who are going through breast cancer and the caregivers. Daughter Connection of the Roads. So shout out to my mom, Diane Powell, but she takes a sabbatical because she's always been a giver. Again, she's been a giver since, you know, people like myself were growing up in church. You know, her own children, all of the children have come out of our home church and now, you know, giving to generations like my children, always giving, reaching out. And so she recognizes that she must, every year, religiously, she takes a sabbatical where she just goes off for a couple of weeks and just, you know, she has her journal, her reading material, or sometimes she just goes and be with God and just have that quiet time to just reflect and renew so that she can then come back and do what she does for the community. So that is the second one. And then, of course, during the holidays, write a letter or a card to someone that you love or care about and hand deliver it to them, you know, especially when that's coming up Christmas in 2 days. Give it to them because that speaks volumes. The other thing is to make it your business to surround yourself with friends and loved ones. Isolation and barricading yourself in the house won't do any good. The next is talk it out. Holding on to the hurt, the pain, the grief is toxic, and in order to recover, you have to release, and you had mentioned that earlier, like you have to get it out, you know, and you have to be in control of it. If you're journaling, if you're talking about it, you have a better chance of working through it so that you can just, you know, you can be the best that you can for yourself. And then,
absolutely,
of course, and loving on the ones who have celebrated and loved on you throughout the year. You know, we don't have to just wait until this one particular day, but when the holidays come, you know, flip your depression, flip it and say, you know, I'm just going to, you know, call someone and just let them know I love you, you know, because that helps, you know. And then, of course, I read from an article, coping with depression during the holidays. This was from WEBweb.com. It mentioned to create your own traditions. So those are some tips, and again, I'm going to have them on the page. But the show is just about to end, and I just thank you so much, Angelina, for being on the show with me, the last show of 2014. How can
my
people...
My pleasure. I'm so honored that you thought of me.
You know, I love you. So tell us, how can people reach out to you? And also, how can they get a copy of your book?
Oh, pardon me. I'm so sorry. Well, of course, you know, you guys can reach me on Facebook. And you can also reach me on Twitter. I'm sorry, I'm starting to lose my voice. You can reach me on Twitter at She Inspires 61, the number 61. You can get my books on Amazon.com. And if you reach out to me on either of those social media sites, then I can get you the link for Amazon.com and also createspace.com. And so I'm starting to lose my voice here.
No worries. But again, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. Honestly, this was fantastic idea, perfect timing, and God is going to greatly bless you for your sensitivity to other people. I love you guys so, so, so much.
I love you too. See you in the new year.
Amen. Kiss my nephew and niece for me.
I shall. Talk to you soon.
All right. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right.